Welcome to How to Accomplish Your Number One Most Important Task Each and Every Day, Even When You Are Super Busy. If you are taking this teleseminar for continuing education credit, here is your first code word, important. It is super important that you pay attention through the entire teleseminar so that you can get the other two code words. Important. I-M-P-O-R-T-A-N-T. Do you feel overwhelmed by all the work that you have to do? Or do you have a pile of work that's a mile long in a to-do list that you just don't think you're ever going to finish or don't even know where to start? Are you so busy all day taking care of small tasks that all that super important work just doesn't get done? And you know that you're losing sight of your goals? Are your wheels spinning, but you feel like you're getting nowhere? Are you not progressing in your business even though you're working hard? Have you ever felt like it's noon and all you've accomplished is answering your email? Or are you wandering aimlessly around the house knowing you have so much work to do, but you're wondering what to do first? At the end of the day, you feel great that you've accomplished 20 things, yet you realize that there were 40 on your list to begin with. Do you come into your office and get started on something important, and the next thing you know, you're interrupted and you get distracted and forget what it was that you were doing to begin with? And do you start an important project at the beginning of the week and then life happens throughout the whole week, and by the end of the week, you realize that you didn't finish your important project because you spent all your time working on the urgent? If any of these resonated with you, congratulations, you're in the right place. Today, we're going to talk about how to accomplish your number one most important task each and every day, even when you are super busy. Just a quick background on me, like what qualifies me to run this teleseminar and tell you all about how to accomplish your number one most important task. My name is Lisa Curley Malice, and I am a time strategy visionary. And I work with clients so that they can accomplish the number one most important tasks. I've always excelled at time management, but I realized that I didn't necessarily excel at putting first things first. But boy, could I whip things off of a to-do list. And so as I began working on my priorities, I realized that I'm not alone. There's a lot of people who seem really super efficient on the surface, but once they dig deeper, they realize that they're getting a lot done, but maybe it's not the most important things each and every day. So I started to dig deep into myself and do a lot of professional development and realized that I could combine my skills of coaching and of time management and my field in the education field and help many, many clients live a life where every day feels productive, rewarding, and fun. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to get us down that path. I believe everyone needs some sort of structure in order to make changes and to move forward and create new habits. The amount of structure varies person to person. One size does not fit all. In fact, usually one size fits no one. So what we're going to do is talk about a framework and some different ways that you can flesh out that framework depending upon your needs, your learning styles, your preferences, and what you desire to move forward. What works for me won't necessarily work for you, but throughout the next hour, I'm confident we'll find pieces that will work for you that you can adapt for you and or your clients. When I talk about creating a structure, The structure and framework I like to work with is AWE, A-W-E. A stands for awareness, W stands for work, and E stands for evaluation. This is a very loose structure phrased just like that, awareness, work, and evaluation. Then we can start layering in additional pieces to build out whatever it is that we each need, you need, I need, our clients need to be successful. And so let's start with A, the awareness phase of awe. The title of this teleseminar, How to Accomplish Your Number One Most Important Task Each and Every Day, Even When You're Super Busy. So the awareness phase comes in when we start to determine what is our number one most important task. If we don't know that, how in the world are we ever going to accomplish it? And when we talk about number one most important task, there's a couple pieces to that. It's number one, meaning we're picking one task to start with. And most important, notice I didn't say number one most urgent task, but most important task. Everyone on this call is interested in increasing their time management expertise, whether for themselves, for clients, or both. And we know that because we're professionals and we're interested in increasing our learning, I'm going to assume that you do complete the number one most urgent task every day. It's the important stuff that gets pushed by the wayside. So I commend you for being here today to start to look at how do we get the important stuff done, not just the urgent. So when we're choosing our number one most important task, the first thing that I want you to do is not even consider the urgent. We're a find a way, make a way people. We will find a way, make a way to get the urgent done. But let's look at the important. One of the things that you can do as you're choosing your number one most important task to complete for the day is look back at your goals and your values. What's something that's on your New Year's resolution list that you decided was super important on January 1st? Maybe you want to choose a task from there. Maybe the most important thing is whatever it is when you close your eyes and you say, what's the one thing I can do for my business right now that's going to move me forward? And then you open your eyes. What comes up in that moment usually is not urgent. It's important. What's a strategic step you can take in your business that you've been putting off because you, quote unquote, just don't have the time? Oftentimes, just taking an hour to think about your business versus working in your business can be the most important thing that you can do for your business. Possibly when you're picking your number one most important task, you're using the 80-20 rule. How can I get 80% of a result with 20% of an input? What's the least amount of energy I can devote to this, to a task, to get a big prize at the end? Big bang for my buck. Maybe it's finishing up a proposal to send out to land a new client. Possibly it's picking up the phone and making a connection call to someone who can be a resource partner to you to connect you with a number of people. We all have those people in our heads that we're like, I need to get a hold of them. I need to call them. Maybe when you look at your most important task for the day and you're looking at the 80-20 rule, a 15-minute conversation can turn into hours and hours and hours and dollars and dollars and dollars of business. One of the ways that I like to choose my most important task is to use Covey's four quadrants. And if you're not familiar with Covey's four quadrants, be sure to email me after this presentation, and I'm happy to send you a handout that will explain it in a little more detail than I'm about to. In Covey's four quadrants, he breaks it up into urgent and not urgent, important and not important. So for example, in quadrant one, it's urgent and important. And those are usually the tasks that you spend your time on throughout most of the day. It's when you set aside time to do something important, but you don't do it because something urgent came up. Those are usually your quadrant one tasks. Quadrant two are things that are important, but not urgent. These are usually the things that get bumped from your schedule that are super important and crucial for us to move forward and accomplish our goals, yet they get moved out because something important came in. So for example, working on a presentation the day it's due would be urgent and important. Working on a presentation 2 weeks before it's due would be not urgent and important. Quadrant two activities become quadrant one activities given enough time. So if we can keep moving through our quadrant two activities, we can lessen those urgent emergencies that happen. Another example of a quadrant one, quadrant two activity would be exercise. Exercise is a quadrant two activity. It's something that keeps us healthy. However, it becomes a quadrant one activity if you go to the doctor and get a disturbing diagnosis. We want to spend as much time as possible in quadrant two. So when it comes to how do you accomplish your number one most important task each and every day, even when you're super busy, we need to pick a task and it needs to be an important task. And you can do that by looking back at your goals, your values. What did you put on your New Year's resolution? When you look at your strategic plan for your business or your marketing plan for your business or your business plan for your business, what were the goals that you set for yourself and your benchmarks? It may be a health challenge that you're looking at, that you're pulling from, something that you're pulling from quadrant two. And you could use the 80-20 rule or the Pareto principle. How can I do 20% effort to get an 80% result? And that's where I want to spend my time. It may be strategic planning. If I spend, 20 minutes today laying out my next project, that gets me closer to doing that project. Or if I spend an hour today doing customer service calls to my customers, that keeps me top of mind with my customers. So you're looking at what's important versus what's urgent. That's the awareness phase. We're picking that one task. This allows us to be proactive instead of reactive. Instead of doing what comes at us all day long as it's coming at us, we instead can go ahead and pick and choose what we're going to do and where we're going to spend our time. Moving into the W phase, the work phase of AWE, A-W-E, awareness. We've just chosen our number one most important task. In fact, when I say we've just chosen our number one important task, I want you right now to choose your number one most important task for tomorrow. What is it? And go ahead and write that down. If I have not given you enough time to do that, I urge you, strongly urge you, to go ahead, pause this recording right now so that you can do that. Write down your number one most important task that you want to complete tomorrow. Now we're going to move into the work phase. W. Schedule. The first thing I'm going to tell you is schedule that number one important task. Much of what I'm about to tell you, you've heard before. We're going to put a little bit of a spin on it. So as we talk about creating structure and creating framework, I want you to schedule that most important task. So that means put it in your calendar for tomorrow for a specific date in a specific time. Once we put it in the calendar, it becomes an appointment and it carries more weight than just another item on the to-do list. So if we schedule that for 9:30, it's an appointment, 9:30 versus I have to do this and this and this and, you know, these are A tasks and these are B tasks. Well, never is there just one task that stands out head and shoulders above the rest unless it's urgent. So schedule it in with a date and time. You've heard that before. Though, it may be something that you used to do and then you kind of fell away from. That happens. So put it in their date and time. One of the things I will often say, if someone needs an appointment at, say, 10 a.m., and that's when I've scheduled that appointment with myself, I will say, I apologize, I'm not available at 10 a.m. because I have an appointment, but I'm happy to accommodate your schedule at 11 or whatever that may be. And so no one really needs to know that's an appointment with myself. Many times clients will ask me, oh, yeah, or is it an appointment with yourself or with something else? And I will be honest with them because this is a strategy that we've used together. And I will say, well, actually, it is an appointment with myself. And I'm okay with that. So the first thing is schedule it in and schedule it with an appointment, as an appointment. I will compare this, and the women on the call today listening to this recording will understand when I say, it takes a lot for me to change an appointment with my hairstylist. It's hard to get in to see her, and a lot has to happen for me to need to bump that appointment. And I treat my number one most important thing every day just as sacred as an appointment to go in and see my hairstylist. Once you schedule it into your calendar, do a little thinking about when. So what I meant was not once you schedule it in, but before you schedule it into your calendar, start thinking a little bit about when. What part of the day do you want to put that in? Is it morning? Is it afternoon? What type of task is it? Does it need to, do you want to schedule it consistently every day all week? Or possibly you just want to, it depends on the task. So are you aware of your biorhythms? When do you tend to work better? When are you more alert? Is the beginning of the morning easier for you to do thinking tasks? Or is it easier for you to do paperwork in more rote tasks? Do you find that you're more energized and able to think better after exercise? Or do you find that you're more energized and it's easier for you to think right before you go to bed? You need to figure out what part of the day you want to schedule this number one most important task. So as we talk again about framework differing for everyone, some people like that structure of their most important task is scheduled in their calendar from 8 to 10 every single day. Other people would prefer to choose their number one task the night before and then look at their calendar for the next day and decide where to slot it in. Still others look a week in advance. So maybe on Sunday, they say, okay, these are my top five most important tasks, and I'm going to choose where they go all week long based on other appointments and obligations I already have scheduled. You need to decide what framework works best for you when it comes to scheduling time to complete that number one important task, but you want to schedule time to complete it. The part of the day may vary for you as for someone else. When you schedule it, whether it's the night before, the morning of, the week before, the month before, however that works, but the key here is schedule it. Now I'm going to add another piece to this as we're looking around parameters on how to choose the most important or the best time slot for your most important task. You may also look at a buffer. And what I mean by that is for some people it is difficult to schedule their most important task right after they come out of a meeting. Because once you come out of a meeting, you have a lot of, usually you have things flying around in your head that you need to capture. You need to get down your next steps. You've also been away from your office for a time, so email and phone calls may have built up while you were away. So you don't necessarily want to schedule that number one most important task immediately after returning back to your workspace. For example, I'll use myself as an example. I have a number of networking meetings I go to first thing in the morning. So I usually return back to my office somewhere between 10 and noon. On those days, my most important task is scheduled around 1. I get back in, see what I've missed while I've been gone, grab lunch, then I'll sit down and schedule that task. So I give myself a buffer for communication time, a buffer to eat, and then get moving on whatever I've identified as the number one most important task. I choose to give myself a fairly large buffer because I know my personality. And again, this is where you start to build structure and framework that works best for you and for your clients. I know that if on my calendar it says my appointment with myself is right after I get back from the networking meeting, I'm not going to be as truly focused. In my mind, I'm going to be thinking, oh, I wonder what's sitting in my email that I need to return. Oh, I saw I had a couple of missed calls and some messages. I probably should get back at that. Well, I'll grab lunch after I get this done, and then it becomes like 3 o'clock and I haven't eaten. So the buffer time will vary based on where I've been and what I'm doing. Many times I prefer to schedule that top task or my most important task for first thing in the morning because I know that that's the time that my brain works best. And I'm less apt to want to bump it, this most important task, by something urgent because it's still early in the day and that urgent stuff isn't as pressing and as urgent. That strategy works well for me. As you're scheduling your time for your number one most important task, you're deciding, okay, I'm going to put it in the calendar under a specific time and date. You're deciding when on a number of areas. When am I going to choose what that is? Is it the night before, the morning of, the week before? You're also determining, do I need a buffer? What part of the day? Morning, afternoon, evening? Much of this you've heard before. But let's talk about how much time do you schedule? You're scheduling an appointment with yourself to complete your number one most important task. How much time? Whatever you think it is, I want you to multiply that by either 1.5 or by 3, or recently a client told me, or by 10. And so let's talk through what I mean by that. So let's say that you've determined that your most important task for the day is to call 10 of your clients for just customer service calls. How are they doing? What do they love best about their products? What could you assist them with? Those type of calls. And so you've decided, okay, I'm going to call 10 people. I'll probably leave a message with 5. And when I get the other 5 on the phone, it'll probably be like a 10 or 15 minute conversation. So you estimate, let's just say you estimate you're going to need 1.5 hours to do that. So instead of scheduling 90 minutes in your calendar, what you want to do instead, because you've made these calls before, you know that what you're doing, what to expect from clients. So instead of scheduling 90 minutes, go ahead and schedule 2 hours and 15 minutes. And all I did was I took 90 and multiplied it by 1.5 to get from 1.5 hours to 2 hours and 15 minutes. The reason that I have you estimate extra time on that task is, I always laugh and say it's Murphy's Law. When we sit down to do our number one most important task, anything can happen. And so when we think a task is going to take 90 minutes, go ahead and schedule in 2 hours and 15. So for example, let's say you've decided your number one most important task that day is to get on LinkedIn and connect with people. And you know that you want to sit down and you want to spend, let's say, 20 minutes doing that connecting. You're going to do some searches to determine some possible people that would be beneficial connections for your business. And so instead of scheduling 20 minutes into your calendar, because you've done this before, you know what you want to say, you know what you're looking for, go ahead and schedule in 30. This way, if you sit down and you start to work it, all of a sudden you turn on the computer and you need to do an update, you factor in a little bit of time for that. Or if while you're connecting, someone accepts your request immediately while you're doing it, and you want to then start a conversation with them, you've built in some extra time for that. So that's the rule of 1.5. Sometimes, though, I recommend that when you're estimating the amount of time that you want to put into your calendar to schedule in your number one most important task, you actually multiply by 3. And this is because you are doing a task you've never done before, so you don't know what you don't know. So if you decide my number one most important task for today is to create a presentation on a topic that you've not presented on before, and you estimate that to create the outline for the presentation is going to take you 1/2 hour just to get a rough outline in on what you want to present on, go ahead and give yourself 1.5 hours. Because you don't know what you don't know. And as you start to create that rough outline for your presentation, you probably will need to do some research. You'll have an idea and you'll think, oh, I wonder if this would work or this would work. And then you're going to start looking for things because you've not yet presented on that topic. And so you have to solidify your thoughts. Possibly you are another task that you may not have done before. Let's say you're moving your database into a CRM system and you've not done that yet. If you estimate it's going to take you 1 hour, give yourself 3. Because once you get in and start moving that, you have no idea what that, how long that's going to take. So as you choose your number one most important task and you start to schedule it into your calendar, give yourself some buffer time, or schedule or estimate by 1.5 and 3. This works with things such as, let's say you're exercising and you say, I want to take a 1/2 hour walk Give yourself 45 minutes. Maybe you can't find your shoes. Maybe you get outside and you realize it's raining and you want to come back in and change your coat. Who knows? Because here's the what I consider the brilliance of using the rule of 1.5 or the rule of 3 when you estimate. If you estimate too high and you get the task done earlier, that's a bonus. You just have created extra quote unquote free time for yourself that you can then use somewhere else. But if you flip that scenario and you estimate low, you're then feeling under the gun all day and you're having to make a choice. Do I continue with what I'm doing right now, which I've identified as the most important thing, or do I go with what I've identified later in my calendar I needed to get done? So if we can build in extra time around our number one most important task, you're much more likely to accomplish it and not let yourself be distracted by something that's not quite as important but is super urgent. Another factor to consider when you're scheduling in that block of time to complete your number one most important task is to determine where. So we've talked about like where in the calendar, where in your day does that happen, but how about where physically will you be when you accomplish that task? I have a client who has tried a number of strategies in order to accomplish her most important task. We've scheduled it. We've scheduled it. We've done where she's called me to say that she's going to sit down and do it. We've tried morning, afternoon, evening, scheduling it for a half hour block, an hour and a half block, putting it in her calendar in pen, highlighting it in red. All of those are structures and frameworks that you can implement with a client or yourself as you're trying to make this process work for you. Scheduling it in is the key component. The other pieces are the extra, I don't know if you want to call it like the secret sauce that makes this go from concept to implementation. How do you make it work for you? Because it's about finding a system that works for you and for your clients versus finding a system that's there and you fitting into it. We want to create the structure around something that works for you. What this client has found is that she is most successful on completing her number one most important task when she schedules that time from 8 to 10 in the morning at a location other than her office. At Starbucks, at Panera, at, you know, a coffee shop, wherever that is, not in her office. Other clients have been able to be successful just moving out of their office into a conference room where they are in their location. Or for those of us who work from home, getting out of our office, our desk, and moving over to the kitchen table. That change of location may help. Getting to an off-site location is also has proved beneficial. So as you're doing the scheduling, let's look at the pieces. Appointment during your day with yourself on the calendar at a specific time. Deciding what time is that? Morning, afternoon, evening. Looking at, do you need a buffer around that appointment based on what's happening before you're sitting down to accomplish your number one most important thing? Where are you going to physically hold this appointment? In your office, in a conference room somewhere in your building, completely off-site? Maybe it's just that you need to go to your car and sit in your car to make phone calls. Whatever it is, those are the things you want to work through. And it is a trial and error process until you come into the perfect solution for you. Because one size does not fit all. So we're looking for your size. What fits you? And then making sure that you estimate either using the rule of 1.5 or the rule of 3, or I mentioned earlier, a client of mine says it's the rule of 10. For her, anything that involves technology, is she jokingly says it's the rule of 10. But she really creates a huge spot for that task, knowing that technology for her is something that's exceptionally unpredictable, and she would rather overestimate a lot than feel under the gun and in the middle of a project and out of time. Many of these suggestions you've probably already heard before. I'm going to give you something that you may not have heard before now. And it's the idea that time management is really all about choice management. So when you are looking at your calendar and it's 9:30 and it's time to do your number one most important task, and you choose not to do it, I want you to write down why. Why did you choose not to do the number one most important thing? Here's a couple reasons about why you would want to do it. Because let's be honest, sometimes you're just not going to do it. You've done all this strategy. You've said, okay, the best time of the day for me to do this type of task is in the morning. I put in a buffer because I'll be coming from an offsite location before I get here. I've made sure that I have all the materials I need to do this task. And then you sit down and you just say, you know what, I'm not doing it. Sometimes that happens. So you want to start to keep a log of when do you do the task and when don't you. You want to make sure you're starting to be proactive versus reactive. Instead of saying, I don't know what happened, the day got away from me, it's noon and all I've done is answered my emails, you want to be able to say, I know exactly what happened and I made a choice. When you can keep a list of your choices, of what you're doing each and every day, what you're choosing to do, what you're choosing not to do, you then are creating awareness and you're giving yourself some data to use later. So at this time, I want to quickly give you our second code word before I forget. Our second code word is task. T-A-S-K. How to accomplish your number one most important task each and every day, even when you're super busy. So our second code word is task. For those of you who are taking this teleseminar for credit. Now let's jump back to that creating a choice idea. One, it gets tougher to write down on a piece of paper, I chose not to do this task because I just didn't feel like it. Like, that's a lot harder to do. Like, it's easier in the moment to think to yourself, I'll just kind of do that later. But to force yourself to write down on a piece of paper, I don't feel like it, you know, that makes it tougher to just kind of blow that off. Because let's remember, an hour ago, 5 hours ago, 24 hours ago, a week ago, whatever it was, you identified that as being the most important thing that you could do that day at that time. So you've put the time in to really think, what's the most important thing I can do to, you know, increase my income or move my business to the next level or to become more healthy or to honor my commitments to my family or honor my commitments to myself or honor my commitments to my community or whatever the criteria you decided to use at that time to choose your number one important task. And then you look at your calendar at 9 o'clock when you have it scheduled and you say, oh yeah, I'm not going to do that. Write down why. Possibly you look at it and you say, I'm not going to do that because XYZ has just happened And I've determined that that is more important than what I had originally scheduled. That's a completely different conversation than I'm just not going to do that. Possibly you write down, I didn't do this at 9 o'clock because I got called into a meeting. Maybe that's unavoidable. Maybe you write down on a piece of paper, I didn't do this at 9 o'clock because I didn't have all the materials I needed. Or I started the process and realized that I needed a resource that I did not have available at that moment. Maybe you write down, I did it. I don't want to dwell on the negative here. So maybe you write down on that sheet of paper, it was 9 o'clock, I did it. And I'm super excited about the outcome. Or I did it and I underestimated the amount of time it took, or I overestimated the amount of time it took. Whatever it is, every day, you're making a conscious choice whether or not to do what you said you were going to do, whether or not to honor that appointment and that commitment to yourself. And you're capturing the good, the bad, and the ugly. What worked? What do you think you could change to make it better in the future? You're capturing all of that information. It's like your safety net, in a way. This is your external motivation type of a deal. You sit down, it's your support. You sit down to do the task. You sit back a little bit and think, I don't know if I want to. And then you think, wait a minute, I can't write down, I'm not going to do that because I'm not feeling it, I'm not in the mood. And then it helps you move forward. So it's a support system. So as we talk about the work phase, really it comes into two separate parts. Scheduling it with all the pieces that could entail for you, depending on what pieces you need to build up your structure. When, how long, do you need a buffer, where are you physically, when do you decide to schedule it, the day before, whatever. And then the second piece is making it a choice. Being proactive in your day versus reactive in your day. Choice management, not necessarily time management. So with all that being said so far, we've talked about awareness. We've talked now about work. And we're going to move into evaluation in a minute. But I want you to go ahead and take out your calendar. And you identified about, I don't know, 25 minutes ago or so, you identified your number one most important task to complete for tomorrow. I now want you to schedule that into your calendar. Take into account any of the pieces we've talked about so far, but get it in there, schedule it in there. I will wait for you to do that. If I have not given you enough time, since I can't see you, go ahead, feel free to pause the recording until you get that scheduled into your calendar. It's all about taking action. Just listening to me for an hour, is it going to get you nearly as far as actually applying some of the concepts we're talking about? So go ahead, put it into your calendar. We talked about AWE, awareness, work, and evaluation. And so now we're in the E phase, evaluation. What worked well, and what can we do to get it even better the next time? Many times we say we want to go back and debrief, and we say we want to go back and evaluate what's working and what we could adjust to make it work even better. But we don't. The number one reason, in my opinion, that we don't is that we're so busy all day long, all the time, doing stuff that we haven't made it a priority and we haven't scheduled it in. So I encourage you to schedule in a debrief time. into your calendar so that you can look back at when did you sit down to accomplish the task, and it worked beautifully at exactly the time that you chose it for exactly the right amount of time that you devoted to it. When were the times that you sat down to do the task and realized that it is not a great time of day and you had to shuffle it for another time? When are the times or days that you were not at all inclined to do the task, but you pushed through and did it anyway? Because the more information you can gather, the easier it becomes to be successful more frequently. Some of the things that you can find when you do an evaluation, that even though you thought through when you thought times of the day were going to be better or worse for you, you realize that there's, you know, every Tuesday at 9:30 in the morning, it's hard to hit that task because there's actually something else that you're doing. There's a conference call that you're on, or kids have late arrival for school or something that you didn't quite think about. Maybe you realize that when you sit down to shoot videos at 2:00 in the afternoon, because that's when you feel that that's the best time of the day for you to do that based on lighting outside or whatever the criteria was that you used that. And then what you didn't realize was that the mailman comes at 2:00 in the afternoon and the dog always barks right in the middle of your video. Yes, that's personal experience on my part. Never thought through that piece. So it would not necessarily have caught it except for the evaluation phase. I don't shoot videos every day, but when I looked back over the course of a month, I realized that whenever I had that in the afternoon, I had to reshoot because I had the dog barking. You want to have as much data as possible so that you can determine where's the most optimal time for certain things to happen and when isn't it? Recently, one of my clients said, you know, when I have a day that I'm in my office almost the whole day and really focused and really working, it's difficult for me to schedule whatever that number one most important thing is at the beginning of the following day, because my brain still feels a little bit tired from the day before. So I need to schedule that later in the day. Those are the types of patterns that you will begin to see when you start to do an evaluation of what's working, and then you can figure out what can you adjust to make it work even better. Time management strategies are simple to understand, but they're not always easy to implement. And so the more data we can have, the better we can become at creating the structure and the framework and the system that we each need to be successful. Because you can accomplish your number one most important task every single day, even if you're super busy. How you accomplish it will differ for each and every one of you listening to this recording. And so it's a matter of figuring out what works for you. In the awareness phase, what works best for you when you're picking your task? In the work phase, what works best for you when you're deciding where to schedule it, when to schedule it, and writing down the choice you've made? In the evaluation phase, how does it work best for you to make sure that you evaluate? Do you schedule it in on Fridays? Do you decide, you know what, Sunday afternoons, I'm going to schedule for the week, so I'm going to look at the previous week, see what was working and what I want to adjust, and then schedule it moving forward? Do you evaluate daily? You have to decide what works best for you, but you want to go through those three stages: awareness, work, and evaluation. Pick a task, schedule it in and make a choice, and then evaluate what worked. I want to share now with you some examples of real life stuff so that we can problem solve through this. One of these examples is, what if you struggle in the awareness phase? I have so many thoughts in my head. I'm easily distracted. I choose what I think is my number one most important task, and then I choose something else, and then I choose something else, and I feel like I, you know, am proficient in so many things, but, you know, the master of nothing. I have a ton of projects sitting here that are all 40% done. It's a common thought. Like this whole how to accomplish your number one most important thing idea falls by the wayside if you can't pick one most important thing. So my suggestion on that, other than the ones I've given you already, using Pareto's rule, you know, the 80-20 principle, what little, you know, smallest amount of energy I can put in for the largest return, or going back to big goals, or looking at, you know, what are the quadrant two activities that are kind of hanging out that I'm not really getting to. I would also suggest, if you're stuck in that, I have so many things going on, I don't know what to do, make a list. Make a list of all of them. Put them all out there. These are all the things I have to do. And then you can do a couple of things with that list. You can say, all right, there's 20 things on this list. If I could only complete 19, which one wouldn't I do? And you cross off one. All right, there's 19 things on this list. If I could only complete 18, what would I do? And you cross off one. And you get that down till you get to your top one. Let's say you get to your top two and you really can't decide between the two because they both seem like they're great. Flip a coin. I'm not saying that you necessarily do how the coin lands, but normally when the coin's in the air or right when it lands, you're hoping it lands one way or the other. Heads or tails. So whatever it is you're hoping for, then use that as your first one. Maybe you make a list of these are the top three areas or goals that I'm shooting for. And you make sure that you keep rotating through and making sure that there's one task for each of those three things. If focusing on one goal all the time is difficult. Maybe you make a list of three, and whenever something else pops into your awareness that you think you might want to do, you then take it and you have like a head-to-head battle against all those three. Is this new thing that's new, and so it's shiny and it's exciting, is that going to get me further where I want to go than what I've already factored in? So that's one of the ways that you can work through that idea of I'm struggling to pick what the number one most important thing is because I'm so easily distracted. I have so many things in my head. How in the world? It's like, you know, what's your favorite child? How do you choose? You have all these things. How do you choose the one that you want to work on first? The second thing is the idea that, you know, I've chosen the time of day that I want to do, but it doesn't matter where I choose it during the day. Something urgent always comes up. And I have to choose to do what's urgent versus what's important. And so my advice there, when we're working through that scenario, my advice there is, one, we live in a society where it seems like everything's urgent. And so my advice is when that urgent comes up and you're making that choice, do I go with what I scheduled? Do I go with my appointment in my calendar that I've made with myself? Or do I do this other urgent thing? And if you choose to do the other urgent thing, because remember, we're not reactive any longer. We're now proactive. We're making choices. Immediately reschedule your appointment with yourself. Immediately reschedule it so that you can write on that piece of paper as you're choosing, I'm doing, you know, the boss just came into my office and told me that I have to accomplish whatever. I'm choosing to do that instead of what I've put down as what's my most important thing for myself. But instead, I'm going to go ahead and do that at 2:00 because I have something already scheduled at 2:00, But what's scheduled at 2 is not as important as my number one most important thing. Often what happens is we allow the urgent to take precedent over the important, and then we allow some of that other little stuff to take precedent over the important, because that little stuff was scheduled later. And it's already on the calendar, and so we're thinking, oh, I'll get through that. Instead, if something urgent bumps what's most important, take what's most important and put it in instead for what's little, kind of important. Some of you sent questions ahead of time that you wanted answered. And so for the time we have remaining, I want to answer those questions and remind you that there are resources available if you would like additional information on what we're talking about today. One of those is the AWE challenge. There's a 30-day AWE-inspired challenge where it helps to create structure for 30 days. Following the phases of AWE, awareness, work, and evaluation. So additional information on that challenge is available at awechallenge.com. Also, reach out. I'm happy to answer additional questions. You can respond by email to this, or you can go to schedulewithlisa.com, and we can have a lengthier conversation. Questions. Here are some of the questions that came in. Pardon the shuffling of the papers that you hear at the moment. One of those is, I really struggle to complete this number one most important task. I've listened to you present on this before. I know what I'm supposed to do, and I sit down to start to work on it, but I find that I really struggle to stay focused on just that one thing. Other distractions or ideas pop into my head and I'm not really sure what to do. My advice on that one is go ahead and utilize the parking lot. The parking lot was created, and this concept was created to help you manage all those distractions and ideas in your head. So on a sheet of paper, just jot down whatever it is that's popped into your head that is going to take your focus away from what it is that you wanted to do. And just keep jotting all those things down so you can stay focused on your number one most important thing until you've completed it. Then you can go ahead and jump on over to the parking lot and look at, okay, what are the things that you put there? So sometimes with this parking lot, really comes in helpful is if your number one most important task of the day is you're using the internet for it. So you're researching something, and then you know how you research something, and then something on that page will catch your eye, and then you'll want to follow that. And then all of a sudden you followed a couple things and you're so far away from where you started from, and it's like an hour later. So as soon as you want to follow something, just jot that idea down on a piece of paper. Or maybe you're working on a presentation, and as you're working on it, an idea comes into your head that is completely unrelated to the presentation. Like you need to pick up milk on your way home. Or an idea comes in for a visual aid for another presentation that you've done. Or you get an idea for a sales technique. Or a customer pops into your head that you're like, oh, I really want to contact them and let them know about this new product we have. It may not be related at all to the task you're doing, but it pulls your focus, starts to tug your focus away. So go ahead and put all of those things into the parking lot. And then when you're finished, you're able to look at the parking lot and determine what you want to do with those items. For additional information on the parking lot, you can go to my website, systemsavvyconsulting.com, S-Y-S-T-E-M, savvy, S-A-V-V-Y, consulting.com. Go to the blog and then just type in the keyword parking lot, and there's a number of resources. It's my favorite way of reducing distractions. We have time for one more question here that was submitted ahead of time. And it's, what do I do invariably when I start working and I'm focused on my most important task, and it's that time I've set aside with the appointment for myself, the phone rings, or someone steps into my office, or I need something. What do I do? Couple suggestions there, depending upon where your workplace is. So physical suggestions first. Maybe you can close the door. Maybe you can shift your office so that you can't make eye contact with people who are walking past. If the phone's ringing and you've decided that you need 45 minutes to work on your most important task for the day, turn the ringer off for 45 minutes. Maybe you have a gatekeeper. Say to the gatekeeper, I need to work uninterrupted for this amount of time. Will you please handle anything that comes in at this time? And define what an emergency is. Often clients will say to me, I can't turn my phone off because what if it's an emergency? Well, let's define what those emergencies are and then come up with a solution to those emergencies. So one of my clients says, I'm really distracted by email when it comes in. And if I close it, I can do it, but I want to check it every hour. I said, that's great. And I said, so we've got a solution there. And he said, but then, I'm also distracted by phone. I said, okay, well, I can turn the ringer off so that I don't hear text messages or calls. I said, great. And then all of a sudden he said, well, what if I do though, if my wife needs to get a hold of me? I said, okay, well, I don't know. What do you do? And so then we worked out a solution from there where she knew when he would be checking his messages. And he had a setting to where if she called twice in a row, it overrode the setting on his phone for silence. And so if she called twice in a row, that second call would come through. And so he knew when the phone was ringing that it was an emergency. You can create whatever system works best for you. But that allows those distractions of phone calls and emails to start to not be as tough to overcome. The second part of that question was, what happens if someone steps into the office? One is you can jot down your next step. So depending on who's stepping into your office, either way is going to break your concentration. For some people, you can say, I'm right in the middle of something. Do you mind if I get back to you in 20 minutes? Some people you can't say that to, in which case you can just jot on a piece of paper what you were going to do next. So when you do re-enter into your task that you've decided is your number one most important task, you're able to do that in less time because your brain knows right where to pick up. It is now time for our third code word. And this code word is success, S-U-C-C-E-S-S, success. I wish you much success in your journey on how to accomplish your number one most important task each and every day, even when you are super busy. Just a reminder, if you are working to get continuing education credits, be sure to send all three code words along with your email and your name and your phone number, and you will receive the certificate shortly. So how do you accomplish your number one most important task each and every day, even when you're super busy? Awareness, what's that number one important task? Work. How are you going to do that? Schedule into your calendar, create a buffer if you need it, and make it a choice to do it or not to do it. And then evaluation. Go back to the beginning, evaluate what's working and what can you adjust to be even better. Thank you for joining me this evening. Do not hesitate to reach out if you have any questions or there's anything that I can assist you with as you move forward on your journey to make every day productive, rewarding, and fun.